Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Dear viewers, in the previous episodes, we have been discussing the critique on the text of the narrative attributed to the Caliph Uthman vis-a-vis the collection of the Quran or the copying out of the Quran, which was carried out in his times. We have been discussing these points of criticism, and in the last couple of sessions, we have been discussing the seventh point of critique on the text of the narrative, and this relates to the contradiction between the various alternative accounts of collection, between them, of course, and with the standard narrative as well. Today is basically a continuation of the previous point, or the seventh point, and we will discuss in this session today, this episode today, the chains of narration of the alternative accounts which we have been discussing in the last two, or the previous two episodes. So today is devoted to the critique or analysis of the chains of narration of the 16 various people who have reported these alternative accounts, and some of them obviously have reported more than one account. So we'll discuss the chain of narration of each of these people and the accounts that they have narrated, and then we shall see whether they stand to the test of criticism or not. Now, first of all, as you would be remembering, the first person to relate an alternative account is Ali ibn Abi Talib. And as you can see on the screens, the chain of narration or the schematic illustration of the chain of narration of his narrative is being displayed before you. Now, as far as this chain of narration is concerned, variants which do not have Muhammad ibn Aban in their chain, they have no flaws. So you can see that as far as Ali ibn Abi Talib's narrative is concerned, except for the chains which have Muhammad ibn Aban in their chain, the rest of the variants or the various rest of the chains of narration are pretty much okay. Let us now come to the second person in this regard, and he is Mus'ab ibn Sa'd. You can see the schematic illustration of the first variant of Mus'ab ibn Sa'd being displayed before you. Now, it needs to be understood here that authorities, like for example, Al-Zahabi in his Al-Kashif and Ibn Hajar in his Taqrib al-Tahzib, they say that Mus'ab died in 103 Hijrah. And according to Baihaqi, and this has been recorded by Abu Shama in his Murshid al-Wajiz, Mus'ab ibn Sa'd and Uthman ibn Affan never met. So this would mean that the chain of narration is actually broken. So we have a disconnection or a break between Mus'ab and Uthman. So therefore, since the two are not contemporaneous, so therefore we can easily see that this chain of narration is broken. As far as the second variant of Mus'ab ibn Sa'd is concerned, you don't see any schematic illustration before you because it has just one variant. And that one variant has Ismail ibn Abdullah ibn Masud. And we also know that Abdullah ibn Muhammad ibn Ja'far ibn Hayyan, in his Tabqatul Muhaddisin bil Asbahan, records about him, وَكَانَ حَافِزًا مُتْقِنًا وَغَرَائِبُ حَدِيثِهِ تُقْثِرُ. Though he was a very person who was had a very good memory, however, rare and unique things and things which are not common in religion would be found in the narratives that he would relate. So this is a comprehensive critique on both these variants. But there's one more thing that needs to be added to this critique, and this concerns both the variants. And that is, since both variants have Abu Ishaq al-Sabi, we know that he is a known mudallis, and all narratives of both versions, they contain his anana. So therefore, this narrative is also impugned with the fact that he is that it has the tadlis of Abu Ishaq al-Sabi, and Ibn Hibban in his As-Siqat has clearly referred to the fact that Abu Ishaq al-Sabi is someone who is a mudallis, and said so. Therefore, since all variants of both these versions have an anana, so therefore, these narratives are further held to question. Now, viewers, we move on to the third person in this regard, and he is Kaseer ibn Aflah. And as you can see, the chart before you displaying the schematic illustration of Kaseer's narratives. Now, in this regard, it needs to be understood that Ibn Hajar, in his Lisan Mizan, writes about Ishaq ibn Ibrahim, known as Shazan. And he's found in the chain of narration of this narrative that lahu manakir wa gharaib, that he's a person who narrates unknown and little known things in his narratives. Regarding Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash, Az-Zahabi in his Mizanul I'tidal records He is sadukun sabtun in qira'ah. However, in hadith, yaglatu wa yahimu. Although he is very famous, or he is very, very a person who is trustworthy and reliable in matters of qira'ah, he makes a lot of mistakes and he forgets in matters of hadith. Now, Muhammad ibn Abdullah regards him to be weak. And Abu Nu'aym says that none of their shuyukh make more errors than Abu Bakr. Ahmad ibn Hanbal says that he is trustworthy, yet at times makes errors. Another opinion of Ahmad ibn Hanbal about him is that he makes many mistakes. However, his books are free of error. In other words, when he's relating from his memory, he makes a lot of mistakes, but his books are relatively better and free. Now, Yahya ibn Sa'id is reported to have said that had Abu Bakr been near him, he would never have asked anything from him, and it is also reported that he would not regard Abu Bakr to be of any stature. And when his name would be mentioned before him, he would contort his face. So this is what we find that Az-Zahabi has recorded in his Mizan al-Itidal regarding Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Numair. Abu Ubaidah, Mujah ibn Zubair is also suspect, as you can see that he's also found in the chain of narration of this narrative. Now, he is also suspect. Regarding him, Ibn Hajar in his Lisan al-Mizan says that Ad-Darqutni regards him to be za'if. Ibn Adi says, Mimman yuhtamalu. And he is a person who has a high chance of making an error. Qayli has mentioned him in his Az-Zu'afa. And Shurbah would not trust him. Ibn Khaddash says that he is laysa mimman yu'tabaru bihi. So he's not among those who is regarded as trustworthy. So we can see that these details impugn this chain of narration, and therefore it cannot be held as reliable. Next, we move on to the fourth person who was related an alternative account, and he is Muhammad ibn Sirin. And Muhammad ibn Sirin, schematic illustration, as you can see, being displayed before you on the screen. And he lived through 33 to 110 Hijra. Hafiz Mizzi in his Tahzibul Kamal has pointed out that he was born in 33rd Hijra, and he died in 110 Hijra. And thus, his narratives from Usman are broken, because we can see that clearly he could not have met Usman, who died when he was just a couple of years old, when Usman had already died. So Muhammad ibn Sirin could not have met, in any case, in any circumstances, the Caliph Usman ibn Affan, رضي الله عنه. And again, this would mean that this narrative has a breakage, it has a broken chain of narration, and therefore it too cannot be regarded as reliable. Next, viewers, we move on to the fifth person in this series, and he is Abu Qilaba. Now, Abu Qilaba, as you can see, his schematic illustration is being displayed before you on the screen. Now, Abu Qilaba, he died in 104 Hijra, and he indulges in irsal a lot. This is what has been pointed out by Ibn Hajar in his Taqrib al-Tahzib. Moreover, Ayyub ibn Abi Tamima al-Sakhtiani, as you can see that his figures just below Abu Qilaba, he is a mudallis, and this has been pointed out by Ibn Hajar in his Tabaqat al-Mudallisin. And all variants of this narrative have the anana of Ayyub, so therefore this narrative too, on account of the fact that Ayyub is a mudallis and all variants have the anana, so this is a further point of discussion, a point of question which can arise. And we also know that he died in 104 and he indulges in irsal a lot, that is Abu Qilaba. So therefore, on the basis of these details, we can see that Abu Qilaba's narrative also stands to question and cannot be regarded as trustworthy. Next, viewers, we become to the sixth person in line, and he is Malik ibn Abi Amir. And you can see his narrative, the schematic illustration of his narrative being displayed before you on the screen. And Ayyub ibn Abi Tamima al-Sakhtiani is a mudallis. Now, he is a person who figures in this chain of narration, and he is a mudallis, as is pointed out by Ibn Hajar in his Tabqat al-Mudallisin. And all the variants have his an'ana. So all the variants of Malik ibn Abi Amir's narrative have his anana, and so therefore, on the basis of this, Tadlis, which we find in Ayyub ibn Abi Tamimah, we can regard this narrative to be suspect as well. We next come to the seventh person in this regard who has reported it in an alternative account, and he is Anas ibn Malik al-Qushayri. Now, you can see his the schematic illustration of the narrative or the variants of the narrative which have been reported by Anas ibn Malik al-Qushayri being displayed before you on the screen. Now, again, you will find that Ayyub al-Sakhtiani, which we have been discussing in the previous two narratives as well, he again is found in the chain of narration here, and he is a mudallis. We already know this, as Ibn Hajar has pointed out in his Tabqat al-Mudallisin, and all his variants, wherever they are found regarding this narrative, all of them have this anana. So therefore, on account of this tadlis, we can never be certain that who is he reporting from. So therefore, Anas ibn Malik al-Qushayri's narrative also stands questionable. Next, viewers, we come to the eighth person in this regard who has reported an alternative account of collection, and he is Yahya ibn Abdirrahman ibn Hatib. So al-Mizzi records the opinions of various authorities about him, that he died in 104 Hijra. He also records, and this of course is recorded by al-Mizzi in his Tahzib al-Kamal. So he also records that Amr ibn Ali al-Fallas has said that he was 72 when he died, and Muhammad ibn Sa'd and Abu Hatim say that he was born in the rule of Usman, who was martyred in 35 Hijra. Thus, Yahya ibn Abdirrahman, the narratives from Usman are broken. He could not have met Usman if this information is kept in mind. So viewers, we can see that the narrative of Yahya ibn Abdirrahman also stands to question because it is broken. And if I recap that in the eight narrative that we have discussed so far, many of them have a broken chain of narration. Many of them do not report events in which the narrator is contemporaneous to the events that he is witnessing. And of course, we know that this is a severe fault in a chain of narration. Views will now come to the ninth person in this regard, and he is Zayd ibn Sabit. Now, the first two variants of Zayd ibn Sabit, as I have pointed out already in my previous talk, they have been discussed in detail, not only in their text, but also in the chain of narration when we're discussing the second topic of this, or the third topic of this series, in which we were discussing the collection of the Quran, which was attributed to the Caliph Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And in this regard, as far as the first variant is concerned, the Jarrah on Abdul Aziz Ad-Darawardi has already been pointed out when we were discussing that narrative in our previous topic. And the Jarrah on Kharija ibn Mus'ab, who was found in the second variant, that has also been referred to in our previous sessions in which we were discussing this narrative while we were evaluating the narrative attributed to the Caliph Abu Bakr ta'ala anhu vis-a-vis the collection of the Quran. Now, we come to the third variant of Zayd ibn Sabit. He's the ninth person, and we have already pointed out that he has reported three variants. So I've just discussed the first two variants, the flaws in their chain of narration. The details can obviously be seen in the earlier talks. But as far as the third variant is concerned, in this narrative, in this variant, we find Kharija ibn Zayd reporting from his father, Zayd ibn Sabit. Now, we have again made this point, and we have noted this point while we were discussing our previous in the previous talks that in all probability, Kharija was only 15 or 16 at the time of his father's death, which of course is a very, very tender age. Moreover, the chain of narration also contains Hafs ibn Umar, though he's regarded as trustworthy by most narrators. However, in the eyes of Darqutni, as is reported by Ibn Hajar in his Tahzib al-Tahzib, in the eyes of Darqutni, he is Za'if. So again, we find this problem in the chain of narration of this third variant. Now, viewers, we now come to the tenth person who has reported an alternative account, and he is Bukhair ibn Abdullah. So the narrative is broken. This narrative again is broken because Bukhair died in 117 or 120 or 122 or 127 or 128. All these dates are reported by various authorities, and these various dates have been given by Hafiz Mizzi in his Tahzib al-Kamal, and he could not have witnessed the events unless he was well over 100 years old. Obviously, a person who dies between these suspected dates of 117 to 128, he could have only been a witness to Usman's collection or these copying out, had he been well over 100 years old. And his biographical note, Hafiz Mizzi's biographical note in Tehzeeb al-Kamal shows that he does not narrate from any companion except Mahmud ibn Labid, who was a minor at the time of the Prophet's death. So this evidences the fact that narratives from Bukayr ibn Abdullah cannot be muttasil, cannot go right up to the event in which he was which he's narrating in his narrative. So he has just heard it from someone who he's not specified. And technically, again, we can see that this narrative is also broken. Next, viewers, we come to the 11th person in this regard, who is reported in an alternative account, and he is Musa ibn Jubair. Now, the chain is not complete. It begins with the words Yahya ibn Abdullah ibn Qatada reports from Musa ibn Jubair. The latter is suspect now. Musa ibn Jubair is suspect. Ibn Hibban, in his As-Siqat, he says that he would err and his narratives would be against sounder narratives. So his narratives would be against narratives which were more sound. Now, Ibn Hajar, in his Tehzeeb al-Tehzeeb, records that according to Al-Qattan, that is, according to Ibn al-Qattan, he is not known. So the words are la ya'rifu halahu, la yu'rafu halahu, la yu'rafu halahu, which means that his whereabouts, his details about his life are not very well known. Now, Ibn Hajar in his Taqrib al-Tahzib says that he is mastur, that he is unknown. So we can see that that Musa ibn Jubair is a person who is totally unknown, and that he is a person who is regarded to be mastur by a person like Ibn Hajar. And Ibn al-Qattan says that la yurafu haluhu, which means that he's a person whose details about as to whom he is are not known. And therefore we can see that in the presence of a person who is not even known as who he is, and he is narrating an event which he is actually claiming, so we cannot regard him to be a person who is of any trust. And we next come to Ata ibn Abi Rabah's narrative. He's the 12th person in this line. And the chain again here is incomplete, because it simply begins by the words Warawa Ata an Usman ibn Affan. So we see that this is an absolutely broken chain of narration. And Ata narrates mursal narratives from Usman. This has been recorded by Ibn Hajar in his Tehzeeb al-Tehzeeb, that he narrates mursal narratives from Usman. So therefore, this is very clear that there could not have been any chance that he would have met Usman. Or in fact, if he did, then he was indulging in irsal. Next, viewers, we come to the 13th person who has narrated an alternative account, and he is Mujahid ibn Jabr. Here again, the chain of narration is incomplete, it is broken, and it begins by the words Warawa Mujahid Anna Usman, and it then goes on. So obviously this again is a broken chain of narration. And we also know that Mujahid died in, now again there are various dates which are given by various people. For example, Ibn Hajar in his Taqrib al-Tahzeeb says that the various dates in which he died were either 101 Hijr, or 102, or 103, or 104. So these are, and then he died at the age of 83. So this is clearly an indication that he could not have met Usman, who died in the early 30s of Hijra. And we can see, since he was 83 years old, Mujahid, so he could not have narrated directly from Usman or narrated an event which was actually, which was something which took place in the lifetime of the Caliph Usman. Next, viewers, we come to the 14th person in this regard, and he is Savvar ibn Shubayb. Now, Ar-Rabi ibn Badr, who narrates from Shawar, is someone who is regarded as matru by Ibn Hajar. And this he has recorded in his Taqrib al-Tahzeeb. So he is a person, and Ar-Rabi ibn Badr ibn Amr, he is a person who is matruk. He has been abandoned, he has been discarded by the authorities. He is someone who is totally forsaken. Now, Ibn Hibban says in his Al-Majruheen, that he would mix up chains of narration. The words are yukallibul asanid. He would just jumble them up. He would not, since he would, obviously this shows that he didn't have a sharp memory, he would just mix up these narrations and he would not be sure that which one is which. And Ibn Hibban also records that he would narrate fabricated narratives from trustworthy as well as weak narrators. So this is what he would do. Now, Yahya ibn Ma'in is reported to have said that he is za'if, and is also reported to have said, Laysa hadithuhu bishay. Now, this again has been something which has been recorded by Ibn Hibban is al-Majruheen. So Yahya ibn Ma'in says that he is za'if, he's weak, and that his and there's no status of the narratives. They have absolutely of no value, the narratives which he relates. And Al-Ijli, in his Marifas to Siqat, says that he is za'if, that he is weak. So this is the opinion of various authorities on Ar-Rabi, Ibn Badr, Ibn Amr. And we can clearly see that he is a person who is severely, and he's severely untrustworthy. Now, Hafiz Mizzi, in his Tehzeeb al-Kamal, records, at one instance, Abu Dawud regarded him to be za'if. And at another instance, he said, La yuktabu hadithuhu, which means that his narratives are not worth writing down. And Abu Hatim's opinion about him is za'if, za'if al-hadith, and zahib al-hadith. Again, these are terms of jar, which impugn a narrator, which regard him to be untrustworthy. And Al-Juzjani says that he is wahil hadith. This again is another term which severely criticizes a person and the way he narrates things. And see, and this obviously is sufficient data to regard Ar-Rabi ibn Badr as a person who cannot be regarded as trustworthy. Moreover, we find Ad-Darqutni. Ad-Darqutni in his Sunan says that he is matrukul hadith. So this is the same as we have seen earlier as a person being regarded as matruk. We have seen he has been regarded as matruk by Ibn Hajar earlier on. So we see a direct opinion about Ad-Darqutni in his Sunan that he is matrukul hadith, that he is abandoned in matters of hadith. Now we come to the 15th person in this chain of narration, and he in the series of narratives who have reported alternative accounts of collection, and he is Aslam Mawla Umar. Now, viewers, this narrative has absolutely no chain of narration, so therefore we cannot be certain as to who has reported this narrative from whom, and it's just a delineation of an event about which we cannot be certain of as to who the persons who report these events are and where and when they did exist in history. Next, viewers, we come to the final person in this series, and he is Abu Muhammad al-Qurashi. We have already studied his narrative. Now, as far as the chain of narration is concerned in this regard, I have to admit and confess that I have not been able to find Hibban ibn Yahya in this narrative. However, if he does not belong to Syria, then this narrative is suspect, because Ismail ibn Ayyash, who actually narrates from Hibban ibn Yahya, he is only reliable in narratives which he narrates from the Syrians. So Ismail ibn Ayyash is only reliable in narratives which he narrates from Syrians. And since he narrates from Hibban ibn Yahya, and if Hibban ibn Yahya is a Syrian, then of course this is a sound narrative. However, if he's not a Syrian, then this narrative is not sound, because as I have said, that Ismail ibn Ayyash is only reliable in narratives which he narrates from Syrians. So, viewers, all in all, this is an analysis of the chains of narration of the 16 people who narrate alternative accounts of collection, and you can see that most of them have broken chains of narration, or their chains of narration have serious flaws. Also, you can see that as far as the first narrative is concerned, the first person is concerned, who is Ali ibn Abi Talib, that perhaps that narrative and perhaps the last one, which is Abu Muhammad al-Qurashi, is concerned, that they, if extra information is not available, as I've just surmised before you, because we don't have sufficient information about the narrative in or the narrators in Abu Muhammad al-Qurashi, we can perhaps give some benefit of the doubt. So only these two narratives at best can be regarded as having chains of narration which cannot be objected to. But we have already raised a number of other questions vis-a-vis the text of these narratives and the way they contradict other narratives. But the remaining 14 people in these chains of narration, in these variant accounts, we can see that all of them have severely flawed chains of narration, and therefore we cannot trust them. So in a nutshell, we can say that as far as these alternative accounts of collection are concerned, they are very, very weak. They are very, very untrustworthy as far as this historicity is concerned, not only vis-a-vis the text they portray, because most of them contradict one another. Not only one another, they also contradict the standard narrative. And the chains of narration also of these alternative accounts is not that sound, at least the 14 of these people. And again, as I said, that if this is the case, that these narratives contradict one another, and also they contradict the standard version, because the basic thing is that all these alternative accounts say that a new collection was undertaken by the Caliph Usman. It was not that he used or copied out the collected material in the times of Abu Bakr, and which resided at his times with Hafsa رضي الله عنها, because the standard narrative says that basically it was a copying out procedure that was carried out by Usman. However, these alternative accounts, all of them say, except for one exception which I had already pointed out, in which actually the copying out procedure was conducted vis-a-vis Aisha's Mus'haf, which resided with her, or Muhammad's Mus'haf, which resided with Aisha. So this is an exceptional account. Other than that, we find all these alternative accounts portraying a fresh collection, a new collection being undertaken in the times of Usman, either by using material of Hafsa's Mus'haf or not, that is another case, or being even correcting it in its light. But the fact is, a new collection was made in all these alternative accounts. So, again, these alternative accounts have details, which I have pointed out in my last talk, that they have. They're all contradictory to one another. So we can say in a nutshell that as far as this seventh point of critique is concerned on the text of this narrative, it clearly shows that we have a jumble of information as to what exactly, and we cannot determine what exactly Usman did. Maybe we can make an educated guess, which I too will do, inshallah, later on when I summarize this final session on this topic. But as far as the details are concerned, and the way they have been reported in not only the standard narrative and these alternative accounts, it's extremely difficult to sift out what exactly happened, unless, of course, we may just make an educated guess, and which, inshallah, as I said, I'll do later on. But as far as this session is concerned, I'm now going to close it with this critique, and inshallah, in the later sessions or the next coming up episodes, we'll discuss the chain of narration of the main narrative, which of course is something which we need to do before we close this whole chapter or this whole topic. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.